Hey, it's Kyle Meredith, host of the Kyle Meredith With podcast, presented by WFPK at WFPK.org and the Consequence Podcast Network. It's a series that puts the spotlight on iconic musicians and actors, inviting them to drop by and talk about their latest projects, whether it's albums, TV shows, films, or beyond.
I'm going to say something I don't want to say. Here it goes. Without Spinal Tap, there is no Tenacious D.
Whoa. Man.
We get great stories and the biggest scoops from people like Garbage's Shirley Manson, the 1975's Matty Healy, Jack Black and Kyle Gass of Tenacious D, Maya Hawke, Kiefer Sutherland, and everyone in between. New episodes arrive every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones. You can find Kyle Meredith With on the Consequence Podcast Network or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, and welcome to Long Time No See, the podcast. Each week, we'll be pairing two blindfolded comedians who've agreed to sit down with a mystery guest. I'll be putting them on the spot with a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Without further ado, please remove your blindfolds and introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Michael.
Hi, Andrea.
I have to be honest with you, I am so relieved to see it's you.
Do you have any irrational fears? What's the worst fad you were into? Is there any job that you would be terrible at?
Underwater welder?
Don't say that about yourself.
Do you guys have any useless talents?
I kicked one of those delivery robots.
What? You kicked one?
Yelling. I kick those all the time.
They have names on them.
Good.
I can make smoke come out of my mouth with nothing.
Do it.
You want to see it?
What the f***? Are you a dragon?
Out now, Long Time No See the Podcast, Season 2. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Tour set.
All right, this week for our walk-in, we wanted to talk about our Spotify Unwrapped for the podcast, which was really exciting because a lot of people had their own Spotify Unwraps and everyone was sharing it. And then we got a message from Anchor saying that since, you know, we're through Anchor, which is through Spotify, we ended up getting like statistics, just really interesting statistics on the podcast.
Totally unexpected.
Totally unexpected.
I had no clue that this was a thing, like Spotify Unwrapped for podcasters.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just really, really cool to read through these stats.
Yeah, just to learn all these statistics. But before we get into the stats, I just really want to thank all of you Iconics and all of you guys who listen to the podcast for tweeting at us and letting us know that, you know, you listened to so many episodes or we were on your top 10 of podcasts that you listened to for the year. It really meant so much to us. It's so rewarding to see that like people are listening to us. Obviously we know this, but it's just, you know, rewarding and gratifying, and just hearing all of your guys' such lovely, sweet messages really put us in such a great mood. We were texting each other back and forth, just in awe and just so in love that we were getting such kind messages.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still speechless. Like,
me
I can't
too.
Believe that we were, you know, getting messages like that. Like, you were my, you know, most listened to podcast, or, you know, like this is even before we got the Spotify Unwrapped. So just hearing this at all was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
We're just so grateful for all of our listeners, for you Iconics. I mean, you're really the reason why we do this podcast and why we enjoy it so much.
We just really feel like we're friends with all of you guys. And I love that the podcast has become so personable, but you know, just really, the Spotify Unwrapped was just really gratifying, and like everything with it was so wonderful.
Yeah, super like icing on the cake of 2020, which
in terms
has been,
of the podcast, yeah,
in terms
great.
Of the podcast, yeah. I was floored to find out that we were listened to in 77 countries.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck?
Yeah, I think we really owe that to BTS though.
Yeah,
because
BTS would
just reaches so many different people all around the world. So just having a podcast about BTS, it's like all those people around the world are seeking a podcast about BTS.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why we had so many countries.
I agree. I think it's the only reason. It's yeah. just BTS.
Why else? In terms of these statistics and just fun little facts that Spotify put together, one of the most jaw-dropping ones was that Standing BTS podcast was on top of the charts in Japan for 18 days.
That's crazy to me. I didn't even fully process that when I saw it. And then I went back and looked at it later and I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Like, how? Yeah. J Armies, where are you at?
Where are
Thank you?
You
guys.
Thank you so, so much for listening. Also, 11,667 people listen to Standing BTS podcast more than any other podcast.
That's fucking crazy to me.
That blows my mind.
That's an insane number to me. I can't comprehend that many people have listened.
Yeah. But it was just so wonderful to get all these like little stats because we have our analytics, but they're never put or like phrased in these sorts of ways. And so these Spotify Unwraps are just really fun to go and see everything and all the stats and what you guys are listening to. But just to get these stats for the podcast was really unexpected.
Yeah. And really, I mean, like Bethany said, we have to thank you guys. Mm-hmm. You know, it's super gratifying and makes us feel very proud of like all the work that we've been putting mm-hmm. in, but it's all for you guys. Yeah. You know, Iconics, you guys are the best part about this podcast. Mm-hmm. The best part, you know, of our weeks is connecting with you and talking with you. Yeah. And, you know, so we would have none of these things if you guys hadn't supported us this year. So mm-hmm. thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes. And just, of course, as always, a big thank you to BTS for putting out such great content and great music for the year of 2020, because our most listened to episodes and everything, I think a lot of these stats are from having good content because BTS has done so, so much this year.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. And on that note, welcome back, Iconics. And if you're new to the podcast, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany. And this is Standing BTS.
Yes.
Yes. Welcome to another wonderful episode where we get to hang out for about an hour and just talk about BTS.
And what a wonderful hour it is, too. But disclaimer, this is an informative fangirl podcast. That means that we're going to fangirl, laugh, and learn a little bit along the way.
Yep, that's right. This is an explicit podcast, though, so if you aren't cool with that, you can dip out now. We won't blame you.
Totally. But if you're down for some, Namjoon is such husband material, and I realized that I'm never going to be able to marry him, and I'm so upset.
But really, that's all of us. He really is some marriage material, I'll tell you
Every
that.
Every moment, he just grows more and more into it. And mm-hmm. I just, oh, I'm just so there. I mean, I'm married, you know, we're married, but yeah. Like, oh, daddy. Okay.
It is sad.
It's sad. I'm sad.
Or my double biases really came for me with these performances. J-Hope in that purple suit. Practically naked, and Taeyang in that red suit for Dynamite and Mama. I just am wrecked. I'm destroyed. I'm beat to the ground.
Yeah, no, completely unexpected and fucking overwhelming. As
overwhelming.
We will discuss thoroughly in this episode.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Holy shit. So if you're here for that, then you're in the right place.
So today we're going to cover the 2020 Melon and Mama performances for BTS. We're also going to talk about the awards that they won, some of the speeches. But really, we're just going to get into these really incredible performances that they did.
Yeah, we are so excited to get into that. But before we do need to thank you, amazing Iconics, again for being here and for supporting us. If you'd like to support us even further and have access to our Google Docs full of episode notes, important links and pictures, so many in this episode, then you can do that by donating monthly to our Patreon at patreon.com/standingbts.
Or if you'd like, you can make a one-time donation at paypal.me/standingbtspodcast. Your support helps us to continue to put out bi-weekly episodes. Any type of support you guys have to offer is super appreciated.
Yes, thank you guys. We would just really like to encourage you fantastic Iconics to go out and support to a charity that's really important to you. We've spent every month this year picking something that's really important to us personally, near and dear to my heart and Bethany's heart. But we would love to encourage you guys to go out and now donate this month to a charity that you feel really close to and that you really want to personally support.
Mm-hmm. It's always been really fun to like look for charities that were meaningful to us in that time. So we encourage you guys to go and do it, and definitely tweet at us, DM us, whatever, about what you guys end up choosing.
Yeah, let us know.
All right, let's go ahead and get into it. So we're going to go ahead and start with the Melon Music Awards, which was on December 5th, 2020. BTS won so many awards.
They
swept, of course.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, this is the first time that anyone has swept.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought they did it last year.
No, I thought that I saw somewhere that this was the first time.
But they're for sure the only artists to have done this.
Yeah, they're the only artists to have swept.
Yeah. But they won Artist of the Year. They won Album of the Year with Map of the Soul 7. Song of the Year with Dynamite. They won the MMA Top 10 Award. Best Dance Male Category. Best Performance Director with Son Sang-duk. The Netsian Popularity Award. And then they also, we're going to include this one, they won the Best Rock Award with 8, which is the song that Suga worked on with IU.
Yeah. So I love that Yoongi got his own little award also. Mm-hmm. Of course. Yeah. It was really amazing to see BTS win all of these awards and for them to sweep. And something, of course, that we love to get with these awards are their acceptance speeches. And so the acceptance speeches for Melon, really what I remember was just Namjoon's speech. It resonated so much. I felt like he was not only, you know, acting as BTS's leader right then, but if I'm not too presumptuous, I feel like he was acting as really a face and a leader, a true leader of K-pop right now.
Definitely.
And what mm-hmm. he was saying, you know, the general gist was acknowledging how tough this year has been, and how lucky BTS themselves were to still be able to put out music and work in the capacity that they did, because they recognized that a lot of people were not able to perform in, you know, how BTS did, or write music and put out albums the way that BTS did. And they really acknowledged all of the struggles that the community has gone through.
Yeah.
And, you know, they just were humbled and thankful and grateful to ARMY. And then Namjoon also delivered like a message of hope. And, mm-hmm. you know, it was an optimistic look. And he told us not to get comfortable in this and to remind ourselves that this is not normal and that we need to be able to still hold each other close after all of this. And that was just really encouraging to me.
Yeah, he's just so well spoken all the time. And just, he's so admirable whenever he's up there delivering these speeches. But everything you just said, he really felt like not just a leader of BTS, but a leader of K-pop and honestly just the industry. Going in and accepting such large awards. And, you know, like they said, they swept, they won all the major awards at this award show. So, yeah, the speech was very hopeful. I love that he acknowledged other artists and just how challenging of a time this is, and that they're, you know, they're not taking these wins for granted at all.
Yeah, they still feel super grateful for them and mm-hmm. Are even surprised by them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So for the performances at the Melon Music Awards, they titled their performance Be There. And so there was just kind of like some media that went around beforehand of their performances. And we got this translation from Dulcet Bontan. And they said, for tonight's performance at the 2020 MMAs, BTS will express their longing for the fans in their own way. The performance is titled Be There, which means that we're together from where we individually are and that the performance will bring the hearts of people closer. Instead of using an overwhelming amount of technology, BTS's performance will strive to carry the meaning that although the physical distances between us grew, the hearts can be closer. The MMAs will also focus on delivering the members' expressions in their eyes and faces.
I absolutely love this format, and I think that they really delivered this through their performances.
Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the performance starts with a sun and a moon in the sky together, and then we see like a flash of a clock with Roman numerals, and then constellations made up by BTS's names, as well as ARMY and BTS symbols. which just gives a really cool effect. Mm-hmm. So the transition from these images into the performance to me is super cool. We go back to the sun and the moon and they combine to form an eclipse. And then, you know, we see the eclipse projected onto this really cool stage that Jungkook is already kneeling on, surrounded by background dancers. But what's unique about this stage is that it is like a water stage. So there's this thin layer of water throughout the entire dancing area.
Mm-hmm. And this really reminded me of Jungkook's solo stage that we got for the Dionysus intro performance at Melon last year in 2019. What's interesting though is Jungkook was dressed in all black for that performance. And in this performance, he's in all white. I don't know if that means anything, but just very, very neat. So after we get this, then Jimin comes in and it's just so gorgeous how they use the backup dancers to kind of line up in front of him and they reveal him.
Oh, the way that they all fall down in front of him.
And he turns around and just looks at us. Yeah.
Yeah. That moment where he turns around, he does it so perfectly, right at the perfect time and with so much impact. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love when he just runs forward towards the camera and then leaps up on just some of the dancers. It's just so gorgeous.
And the way that they hold on to him almost as if they're holding him back in that moment too, I think is so artistically beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And then when he gets pulled back, this is when we get what we can say as iconic.
Truly iconic.
This iconic Jungkook dance that they do where Jungkook brings Jimin around him on the ground. Like Jimin's sliding.
Spins him.
Yeah, sliding on the ground. And then he lifts him up into the air and then spins him in the air. And man, in our Google Doc, we have just the most perfect photo, this still, because Jungkook is just power gripping onto Jimin to lift him and hold him very steadily in
the
air.
So strong, yeah, so sexy.
In his jawline, oh Lord. Oh, and he's got the bun and the undercut. Like slightly wet. But you see just Jimin's lines are all so perfect. The way that he arches his back and is looking up towards the sky, his jawline too. They just look elegant and flawless. Mm. But what really adds to this moment too is they did this slow down effect.
Oh my gosh, the slow-mo. Mm-hmm. Incredible that they added this. And yeah. Jimin just looks so fucking graceful,
elegant.
Elegant. The regal. Lines, the pointed toe, everything, you know.
White swan.
Yeah, white swan is what he looks like.
Mm-hmm. Mm. But then after their wonderful little dance that they do there, it then transitions into Namjoon, also very reminiscent of the Dionysus performance at Melon last year. But they lift Jin and Namjoon into the air. Mm. And Kayla, this screenshot that you got of Jin.
Oh my God. This, I feel, again, okay, is this word going to be overused this episode? But this is Jin's iconic look. I mean, this is that graceful, that head slightly cocked back, looking at us down the bridge of his nose with his lips slightly parted as if he's just breathing in just a little bit, you know, his graceful hands, you know, just kind of draped around his face in such a beautiful way. He has been doing this fucking look. Mm-hmm. And you know what? When they zoomed in on this shot, I said, this is him. This is purely him.
It embodies Jin, this look, everything about him. Yeah. Like I can picture Moon. I can picture Epiphany. Just all of his
Awake.
Solo songs. Awake. Yes. Oh, for sure. Yeah. It's such a great shot.
I love that they put this shot in this performance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they come up to the front and they just really show off their dance abilities. They come to the front. They also slow down when they cross each other. I think Jin leaps in the air and Namjoon slides on the ground. It's a really neat effect.
It's super cool just to see the way that Namjoon slides to to splash so much water, mm-hmm. and the way it catches the light gives a really cool effect. But I really want to talk about how Jin, I mean, we just talked about Jimin being graceful. Okay. Jin gracefully leaping over Namjoon, mm-hmm. Who is with like the water effect and the sliding, you know, gives like a, not a chaotic energy in the usual like crackhead sense that we talk about, but like, yeah, but like chaos in the way of this is beautiful art, and mm-hmm. the water and, you know, the power of sliding across the floor is bringing something else to it, something more like aggressive. Mm-hmm. But Jin is like this beautiful contrast, just gracefully leaping over Namjoon. Yeah. I mean, I was fully taken away by him.
I was too. Yeah.
Wow.
And then after this, we get J-Hope and Taeyang, who do their own bit of choreography as well. And I really saw at the very beginning where they cross paths and they're holding each other's arms and then they pull each other back so that they're facing each other. Total DNA choreography there. I think that choreography was so special for them. I just think about all the stages at the concerts where they did that and like how they got closer and closer and more and yes. more fun with it every time. But seeing that brought in just made me think that maybe they had a little bit of say in this choreography because I think they enjoyed doing that together. But this was so impressive too. Kayla, you were saying how Taeyang standing and dancing next to the Jung Hoseok.
I know. I mean, okay, not to diminish Taeyong's dancing abilities at all. We fully know that he is in the dance line. Mm-hmm. But we frequently talk about that Jung Hoseok is the best dancer in the world. Mm-hmm. And we talk
about he is.
And we talk about how much of a perfectionist he is and how high of expectations he has. And, you know, for Taeyong to perfectly execute this dance next to Hoseok, I think was super special. Just that they both look so, so good together and they did it so well together.
Mm-hmm. And then lastly, for this Black Swan performance, they didn't, so I'm sure you all know, but they didn't do the full Black Swan performance. That this was just all fresh, all new
choreography.
Yeah,
just a beautiful like artistic performance.
Yeah
mm-hmm.
But at the very end they have all the backup dancers form this, like they shoot the camera out a little bit and you get to see all these dancers forming what looks like a swan, like mm-hmm. a large swan made of their bodies.
Yeah.
And they lift Jin into the air, which Jin is so perfect for this, and Jin kind of like flaps his arms out to the side like a swan. Oh
yeah, this is amazing. I love that Jin is playing the head of the swan. Mm-hmm. I love that somewhere in there BTS had a costume change so that he's in black.
And you don't even notice it.
You don't even, you're like, when? How?
Yeah. Because they were all in white. And then here at the very end, we've got the actual black swan and they're all in black. Super quick.
Yeah. But I love that Jin is playing this head of the swan, and that the fact that he's had this costume change makes him blend in with the background dancers so well. Mm-hmm. I love this. I mean, I just think it's genius. It's like tying together the original like choreography version of the music video that we got mm-hmm. with those dancers. I feel like it's tying that concept in with BTS themselves performing this song.
Yeah, it was a great stage, very clever and artistic.
Yeah, I would agree. After this stage, we transition. We're getting to On. But before that, we have a transition very reminiscent to No, which we just thoroughly enjoyed. At the beginning of it, we see BTS standing at the top of a large white stairwell, and background dancers kind of frame the edges, but we see them standing in like that classic No formation. Mm-hmm. And of course, they left a space for Yoongi, who was not there. I love that they decided to leave a space instead of just filling in and making the, you know, the line smaller. Mm-hmm. I felt like that was very intentional.
Yeah. And we'll talk about this a lot, but they really showcase Yoongi's absence. In a way that like it's, you're noticing that something is missing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this is a direct parallel. This shot of them on the white staircase is a direct parallel to No. I'm just now noticing all of the backup dancers have their like drumsticks there. In the No performance, they have like the violins. So it's like a different instrument.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't realize that, but they do get a shot of like one of the members' foot stepping forward, and it's a direct shot of their shoe. And that's the exact same shot that we get in No. So I just love that they really played on that No and On reverse and that direct parallel.
I happen to know that that is Jungkook's foot.
Is it?
Yeah.
Good for you. Good job.
Yeah. I don't know why I know that, but it is. So I really love this moment because we get like close-up shots of them too, which guys, you gotta go look at the doc because they all look so fucking good. Mm-hmm. Their outfits for this, they brought back the Map of the Soul 1 concert outfits. Fucking Hoseok in the vest, the sleeveless vest with the tattoos. Yeah. Like, I mean, he heard our screams about that and he brought it back. They're all in like black tops, whether or not it's leather or some other kind of fabric. And then most of them have like these really shiny silver pants, but it's not in like a really fitted style. It's really reminiscent to me of, you know, that kind of looser clothing, baggier clothing
jogger
style.
Yeah.
That, I mean, maybe even that they wore back during Too Cool for School or during No times.
Mm-hmm. But they all just look so good here. And it was a blessing to get these individual close-up shots of all of them because I think they know, obviously, that they look really great. They look superb, the best. So we're very grateful for all these close-up shots.
Yeah, so grateful. They look incredible. So this goes, this little transitional moment goes from this No moment into On. So let's talk about this On performance. Really something that we want to talk about initially that we notice with this performance is the lack of Yoongi, and mm-hmm. you know, he's missing in the choreo, and you know, his verse is played, but nobody, you know, replaces him or sings his verse. And what I really noticed was during the choreography of On, their triangle formation was really thrown off because there was always missing spaces.
Mm-hmm. So they didn't change anything about the performance or the choreography to hide the fact that Yoongi wasn't there. They let it show. It reminds me a little bit of back when, I don't even know when this was, but there was a performance of Save Me that Jungkook wasn't able to be there. And they had Taeyang sing Jungkook's part mm-hmm. and do Jungkook's part. And they had covered up that choreography as if Jungkook wasn't supposed to be there. And I think they're just in a place now where they don't have to do that. They don't need to do that. And it really emphasizes that BTS is 7.
Yes. I love that they just didn't change anything.
Yeah, you see that BTS is incomplete without that 7th member.
Definitely. They are definitely incomplete without Yoongi. I think we all know that. Taeyang even brings it up specifically in a speech. Like, you know, it's very noticeable. It doesn't take away from the performance at all, but it's just a reminder, like BTS are 7.
Mm-hmm.
Something else that we really noticed about this performance is from the bridge until the end, we're just wrecked by every single member. It does not matter how many times we see them perform On.
They just go all out for it. And at the end of On, you really see them putting every ounce of energy they have into that.
Yeah.
The dance and the performance.
So true. I specifically have to talk about during this part of the song, Jimin's crotch grab, as well as multiple nip slips. I really encourage you again to check out the doc. I got some great screenshots in here.
Mm-hmm.
But holy shit.
Yeah.
He really went for that.
He was feeling himself.
He was feeling himself.
He was literally. Yeah. But he was so snarly and growly.
Demonic.
He was demonic for this performance of On.
I'm upset. I'm still not over it. I'm sorry. I'm not talking because I'm just looking at these fucking pictures of him. Yeah. I'm astonished.
Yeah. Something that I noticed that I don't know if during the Map of the Soul 1 concert, if Jin was wearing this exact outfit, but I somehow missed that Jin is in a harness. And so for this performance at Melon, we get these wonderful close-up shots of Jin where he's doing the choreo and puffing his chest. So his jacket moves away from his waist and you can see his waist in this harness around
Fuck.
Him with his full forehead. And he is just eating up this choreography and this whole performance and is also feeling himself, which I just love to see Jin feeling and looking so confident.
There is really something special about Jin in this harness, like the snatched waist with the wide shoulders and broad chest.
I want him. I want him.
BTS has made us so fucking thirsty with these performances. Mm-hmm. Ridiculous.
I really think that was a goal of theirs with this particular performance. But again, at the end of On, we have them all line up where they show us our backs and they have their arms wrapped around each other. And they, of course, leave that spot for Yoongi.
Right there in the middle of the line. Mm-hmm. I really love that they do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So from this performance of On, they transition with this beautiful little graphic video where Bulletproof Part 2 is playing. And we follow this this like purple line, and it's drawing the symbols for Love Yourself Tear and Love Yourself Answer and then Persona. And then we get like an outline of the countries, and it's, you know, meant to embody the globe. And this to us was just a very cool way to show and to remind ARMY of BTS and of our connection during a performance. So this leads us into Life Goes On.
We just need to say for Life Goes On, this at the beginning, we did that translation from Dulcet Bontan about what their goals were for this performance, to not use as much just production. And that really shows with this Life Goes On performance, because we focus in and we get to really appreciate those beautiful vocals and just such stunning harmonies that are done. We love that this performance is relaxed and really allowing us to see their true skill and artistry. But yeah, they really do focus in on the emotion that they're feeling during this song. Mm-hmm. And that you really get that with this performance. You really notice their expressions and the way that they're presenting themselves. You can see how they feel. And it just really allows us to connect with them with this performance. And it feels intimate.
It does. Mm-hmm. I'm just looking at the images that we want to talk about for this performance, and really the moments that we captured are the moments where we really can feel how they're feeling. Like Namjoon during his verse.
Oh yeah.
We see the light in his eyes. I feel his sincerity as he's delivering his verse, and it's so heartfelt and so comforting.
You really see like this glisten in his eyes, and I don't know where that's coming from, but the way that the lights reflect off his eyes just makes me feel like that's ARMY right inside there.
Yes, it's so beautiful.
We're on his waterline.
Stop it.
But yeah, it's J-Hope too for his verse. It's just so wonderful to see him up there, and his voice really just feels like this warm hug. We've said this about his voice before, but he breaks into this small little smile, and you just see just a vague little depression of dimple on his cheek. And it's just pure sunshine and, you know, hope and happiness, everything that he represents, and just the look of sincerity. Like you can tell he's like, this is for you, ARMY. Like, I'm thinking of you, ARMY.
Yes, I absolutely love this little smile that he has. I love Taeyang too. I mean, can I just have a sidebar about his outfit for a second? But he has that beautiful, like, frilled collar, the high collar that frills out around his jawline.
Only Taeyang could wear this and
nobody
pull it
else
off.
Okay, unless you are outside of, like, if you're living back in the 1700s, sure. Nobody outside of that era of time can rock this besides Kim Taeyang.
I mean
he even has the frilly sleeve, and he has this massive brooch on his left chest that is just really stunning as well. But during this performance, I feel that he's very pensive. I think he's really, when he's delivering his verses, I feel like he's just really thinking about ARMY and, you know, wanting to be a support and a comfort. And I think that he's very deep in his thoughts about, you know, all of what they're going through and all of what we're going through as well.
Yeah. Jimin too is also doing these really heartfelt expressions. You can see his emotion too for the song. But I love during Yoongi's part that they still let that play out. They're not singing it, but they do kind of these backup vocals.
Yes.
And when Jimin does the He kind of does the little, like, he's doing the himself, mm-hmm. but he's not singing it into the mic, but he's just doing this cute expression because we all love that part for that Yoongi does any sort of we love it. And you can see that Jimin and BTS love it too.
Yes, completely. I love this expression of him. You're right. He is so cute.
Adorable.
I really love how Jin delivered his classic, like, eyebrow quirks and, you know, just a handsome, you know, face, you know, a little bit of a smirk, a little bit of a smile at a moment, but, you know, just his beautiful, amazing, incredible vocals with this
his harmonies with Jungkook blew me away.
Yes. Incredible. I didn't expect it to be so, so beautiful in this setting.
And then our Jungkook-y also is just being a total cutie. I mean, the cutie to the max. And you just get that also in very endearing, heartfelt look that he has that you can tell is just for ARMY.
Just for ARMY, as he's holding his microphone in his hand that's tattooed with ARMY. Mm-hmm. Oh, he is such a cutie. I'm overwhelmed just thinking about how cute he is.
Yeah. But they, at the very end, they show all of the ARMYs from, it could have been from the Map of the Soul 1 concert, some of that footage of when they did that. It could be new footage, I'm not so sure. But they brought in just like all of the ARMYs who had been filmed at home as if they were there supporting BTS, and they were projected up above the stage, just circumferencing the stage that, you know, we really felt present, just really wanting to show that BTS and ARMY are together.
Mm-hmm. And I think, again, still reinforcing what Namjoon talked about during his speech is that we're still together through all of this. And but it was just a beautiful sentiment. I loved that imagery of having us there for that performance.
Me too.
Okay, so getting into Dynamite, this performance was so, so fun. Right at the beginning, we were absolutely floored by this little beginning shot. Really, the Maknae line were pretty elusive, but the Young line was each one of them staring us down.
Mm-hmm. Every single one of them. The Young line was coming to get us. Jin right in the front, Namjoon off to the side. And let's go ahead and just start in on fucking Jung-Hoseok, okay? in this purple velvet suit with no shirt underneath, and his chest is just out.
Yeah. And the other thing is that, like, I think his whole outfit is like a one piece costume. Like, I don't think it's a suit top and pants. I think it's all together because it's pulling and tugging in so many different ways
Yeah, but guys, really go back and watch the beginning of this performance and just look at J-Hope, because he is giving us this stare of like, I'm about to fuck you up. Like, he just knows. And it makes me so mad.
It's lethal.
It is. He really knows what's about to happen.
But we had no fucking clue. You know, we're just like, why is he coming for us like this? Something different about the beginning of this performance also is that it wasn't Jimin in the back to do like the bang with the gun. It was Jungkook this time, which I just thought was interesting. It was new. But I guess it kind of made sense for continuity's sake that Jungkook did that and then he starts the song.
So they do the performance of Dynamite and the stage is really cool. The lighting is really wonderful. They're all doing such a great job. There's this cute little moment of Namjoon poking Taeyong's cheek. That was very different.
So cute.
Overwhelmingly cute. But then, to much surprise, and we talked about how we maybe shouldn't be surprised because they usually do a dance break and present a new dance break during like Melon and Mama. But there's a dance break for Dynamite. And I was so impressed by it. I thought it was absolutely perfect for Dynamite because it wasn't their typical go hard, extreme dance break that they've done for like Mic Drop and On. This was a more jazzy
disco
funk, just feeling the be doing these great moves, and it's just funky. It's funky.
Yeah.
And
they build into the crazy level of, you know, dance breaks that we typically get. They just don't start off right with it, because as Dynamite, you can't just go hard from the beginning. You have to fit the vibe of the song and everything. But they do some incredible stuff during this dance break.
So we have Jungkook kind of really bringing us in with the dance break, and he does a really great job hitting the beat. But then J-Hope comes to the front in this purple suit, and now it all becomes clear on why he's naked because of this particular part. He comes to the front and all the members line up behind him, and he's just you can see every little detail of his muscle and movement when he's doing this choreography. But he puts this like fedora like hat on. Get a lot of Michael Jackson kind of vibes here. I mean, J-Hope is just such a great dancer, and he's strutting his stuff, and we get these really cool angles of, like, I think it's Taeyong comes out to the side, kind of peeks out of this line, and then you see on the other side, Jin peeks out of this line and gives like a little kiss at us. Oh, it's just so great. Oh, it's just, I like cannot praise this part enough. Like, there's so many gifts of just this one shot of J-Hope in the front and the members all lined up behind him when he's in this freaking suit.
Yeah. I cannot get over in this line formation where Jungkook is fucking right behind J-Hope. And one part of the choreography, you know, makes Jungkook run both of his hands on either side of J-Hope, just like down his body from like chest all the way down to his waist and his hips. Oh my, that is the hottest thing I've ever seen. The hottest thing I've ever seen. And the way that this velvet, you know, costume suit is just clinging to J-Hope's body really is why it gives the effect of him being naked, because you can see everything. You can imagine everything. I have never wanted to just rip off his clothes more than anything ever in my life.
But then after J-Hope's part, he throws his hat, and it's so perfectly timed. And as he throws his hat, we see Jimin do that like jump spin, that classic jump spin that Jimin is known for. And he kicks the beat like perfectly in time, in air, like midair. It's so impressive, the timing.
The timing is literally perfect. Like right when his leg goes out, these trumpet horns blow. It's immaculate.
He's just a professional, and it's, you know, he's unreal. And then we have Taeyong come up, and I just love that they include Taeyong like as part of the dance line. He comes up front and center and does his own little dance too, front and center, and then turns around and gives us this great smirk, like lip bite.
Oh my God. This is illegal to me. He's not allowed to look this freaking cute. Like, I don't know who he thinks he is, but this little lip bite smile, this smirk, is so mischievous but so freaking cute. I don't know what to do with myself.
Yeah.
I don't know how you're surviving over there. This is a tough episode for you.
Oh, it's been miserable.
They're really putting you through it, Taeyong and Hoseok.
I was very tested, and I failed.
I failed.
But yeah, obviously, this dance break of Dynamite, iconic.
Iconic. I mean, and it made this Melon performance iconic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, let's go ahead and get into Mama. Look at this list of awards here, Kayla.
Insane. BTS won so many awards at Mama. They won Artist of the Year. They won Album of the Year, Song of the Year, Worldwide Icon of the Year, Best Male Group, Best Dance Performance by a Male Group, Best Music Video, Worldwide Fans Choice Award, and also Best Collaboration with 8, which of course was IU and Suga.
Just so many awards.
So many.
Did you see my bag?
Did you see my fucking bag?
Mm-hmm. But what was special about their speech for this is they all were able to speak to some extent for the Mama awards when they went up to accept their awards. But they had Yoongi on speakerphone, so Yoongi even got to say a couple words in acceptance of these awards. And he, of course, everything he said was so perfect. You know, he said that he was in rehab and he's trying to heal as quick as he can. And of course, that he's grateful for all of it. And definitely could hear him getting a little bashful like he normally does.
He was so happy. Yeah. You know, I think, of course, it was hard for him to be away, but he was so, so happy and so grateful. And I think really conveyed that message. Mm-hmm. I just thought it was cute that Jimin had him queued up, ready to go on speakerphone on his phone.
They were like, you are going to say some words.
They said that it was the first UNTACT award like acceptance speech. Which I thought was cool.
That is so cool.
Only Min Yoongi. Mm-hmm. So for BTS's performance at MAMA, they started with On. And so we're not going to go so much into the fangirling aspects, although I'm sure there will be some of these MAMA performances.
We still have yet to get to Red Suit Taeyang. Right, so right. Expected fangirling there.
Mm-hmm. But we do just want to talk more about like the setting and the impact of these performances for MAMA, since we just fangirled with the ones for Melon. Mm-hmm. So for On, this is really unique to me. They performed this at the Seoul World Cup Stadium. Bethany, you said that this was an ultimate flex.
It was. I mean, we got this huge drone aerial shot of the entire stadium and seeing the, you know, the army logo and the BTS logo made out of all these people on this field, this very large stadium that they rented out just for this performance. It's a huge flex.
Yeah, definitely. I just had to look up a little bit about this stadium because I didn't really know what it was or what it was for. So this stadium was built for the 2002 FIFA World Cup, and it's unique for its specific Korean design elements, which I thought was so, so interesting because mm-hmm. we have often talked about that BTS are so proud of their heritage and their culture, and really in any moment that they can, they enjoy sharing it and just showing little ways that they are prideful of it. So what makes this structure unique is that it's shaped, made to look like a traditional Korean kite. And then the outside of the structure is covered in this fiberglass polycarbonate glazing that is meant to like imitate traditional Korean paper, which is so interesting. And then at night, the structure is lit up. It's illuminated from the inside. And because the surfaces of it have like this paper look, it looks like a traditional Korean lantern as well. So it has, you know, like these three, you know, very unique to culture and, you know, important symbolic things all tied up together. So I just feel as though it's significant that BTS are showing off this important feature.
Yeah. I did not know any of this about the Seoul World Cup Stadium. I didn't know that they had, of course, designed it to specifically show these like traditional Korean elements and to have this illusion with just the way that it was built. But it doesn't surprise me with how much we have gotten to gather, like knowledge we've been able to gather through this podcast about just Korean culture. It doesn't surprise me that they would honor their culture in this way.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just such a huge honor, I'm sure, for them to have been able to perform On at this stadium.
Yeah, definitely. I would say so, to rent out an entire stadium, especially a stadium of this importance, mm-hmm. For an awards performance, I think is incredible.
So for their outfits, they are all dressed in military uniform, which for it kind of makes sense. Where I originally went was they're performing On, and we have all those no parallels. So for their intro performance trailer, that very good camera, that was during No, and so I think they were also during that time wearing very military like outfits, and they had like the flags and stuff there mm-hmm. too, but we just feel that we can mention it now because it has been spoken about recently that in Korean law, the Korean law has changed, allowing artists to defer enlistment.
Yeah, I think that you're correct completely in that they're wearing these uniforms that they're wearing to be reminiscent of that past era, of the No era, and the very good camera. But I just think it's interesting the timing coinciding here that like literally within the same weekend that they were performing Mama, you know, a couple days prior, it was announced that this law was changed, allowing artists to defer enlistment. I mean, we should note, you know, as a reminder, we've mentioned it on previous episodes, but there was already law written allowing, you know, like classical musicians or athletes, people who were of, you know, high prestige in their industry to have deferment from enlistment. But this never included K-pop stars. So, you know, as of recent, I believe that it's, to be specific, Article 60 of their document. But basically, they have added K-pop stars into the fold of being able to defer enlistment for an additional 2 years now. And this is awarded on a case-by-case basis evaluated by the president. But we can't help but to notice that this is coinciding and happening at the same time.
Yeah, seeing these military uniforms really refreshed us and made us think about this recent news, this new change in law that just happened. It's definitely a topic that, you know, we don't really like to discuss because we only know a fraction of Korean culture and what mm-hmm. they do there. But, you know, maybe it's a little bold for me to say because I'm not Korean and I don't know much about it. But I really do feel that BTS are serving their country in a way. You know, I think this is why it's not totally new that, like you were saying, other like Olympians and artists, musicians have been given this same kind of treatment. I just want to throw this statistic out there because it's always interesting to mention, but BTS are worth $3.6 billion a year to the South Korean economy. That's how much they bring in. Mm-hmm. They increase South Korea's popularity, contributing to a surge in tourism. An estimated 800,000 tourists reportedly chose South Korea as their travel destination because of BTS. One in every 13 people visit South Korea because of BTS. And the GDP that BTS bring in is almost as much as Korean Air, the Wow. major airline in Korea.
It's just, I mean, I agree with you that BTS are serving their country right now, just in a different way. And it's hard to talk about this topic because it has been very controversial in the past, mm-hmm. you know, about people, you know, I think the majority of ARMY's stance, at least the ones that we know and interact with, is that this is very much a personal choice to BTS and, you know, things that we know not of, and mm-hmm. we can just support them in whatever ways we can, you know, when that time comes, and that we really don't need to have, you know, oh, they should do this, oh, they should do that, an opinion on it.
Yeah.
But it is relevant to state that they provide so much to Korean economy and to Korean tourism, which of course influences economy. And also, I think just we've talked about Korea really exerting their soft power throughout the world, mm-hmm. And just their influence, that Korean wave of, you know, impressing Korean culture, you know, in the United States, in the West, in places that don't know Korean culture very well, and just spreading it and being prideful of it. And I think mm-hmm. BTS are such global ambassadors of Korean culture that
in their country.
And so for them
and
to
so much more, like my impression, sorry to interrupt you, but my impression of it is that I just knowing BTS and the, you know, what they do and what they deliver, it makes me like, I want to buy like Korean cars. I want to buy Korean products because I feel like it's going to be quality and good. And, you know, I just, that's like the effect that they're having.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So it's not just bleeding into the tourism, it's bleeding into Korean products and, you know, Korean companies mm-hmm. and affecting sales in all different types of way. I mean, it's just, it's incredible. So it's not shocking to me that this new law was passed right as the end of 2020 was coming mm-hmm. with Jin.
Literally days before Jin's birthday, yeah. This law was amended. And this was days before his 28th birthday where he would have had to enlist. I don't think that it's a coincidence at all. I really don't.
Me either. Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk more about this On performance. Something that makes this performance unique to the Melon one or any other one that we've seen is that they completely changed the dance break.
Changed it up.
Yeah, during Jungkook's part, during his solo bridge, we see Jimin sneak up behind him and he was holding something yellow and we're like, what the fuck? What is about to happen?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And as soon as Jungkook's bridge is over, we get Jimin in his own little solo dance break and he has this massive tasseled baton and he does like this amazing baton dance. We should also mention here that they have like a full marching band, a huge marching band, and they have cheerleaders and it's just really awesome.
Yeah. They also have like fireworks and stuff in the background that go off. It's huge. They went all out for this. Taeyang has two drumsticks in his hand and he has a little dance break here and he just runs and covers so much distance in a short amount of time along these, you know, marching band, like dancers, right next to him. It's really impressive. He jumps in the air. He looks great. And then it so smoothly transitions over to Jungkook, who has these two massive like drum mallets and these large drum sets that are stacked up on top of each other behind him. And he's got these big, bold, powerful movements that he has with these drum mallets. And then he kind of just hits down at the drum, you know, and then all these drums break away and then circle around J-Hope. And J-Hope is right in the middle of this drum circle.
Amazing. Center anything. I love J-Hope being in the middle of anything. Drum circle, BTS, center of attention, I don't care. But I love this little transition, like Jungkook beats down the drums and then they collapse and surround around J-Hope. I just think it's so cool.
It is so cool. We love center J-Hope anytime.
Always.
So after their On performance, we go into Dynamite. And this transition is also really cool. We kind of go through this like spiral-like thing. And then all of a sudden, we see Jungkook in this tunnel of beautiful colors. I mean, bright, vibrant, neon-like colors. And we ended up finding out that this exact stage is parallels almost directly to this Michael Jackson photo shoot that was done at Epcot in 1984. And we really feel that with these performances that they're doing homage to Michael Jackson a little bit. Mm-hmm.
They just continue to do that. I think I feel like they've done that the whole time with all of these Dynamite performances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we really love this stage. Very retro feel. We love the colors. And when we were watching it, I had told you, Kayla, it reminded us both of the parachute from like elementary school, where it was like an activity. I'm sure maybe some of you other Iconics listening have experienced this activity too, which is this large, colorful parachute. And you've got everyone around it and you all lift it up into the air and then you run inside and you tuck it underneath your bottom and you sit down on it so that the air gets captured. It really feels like I'm inside that, like underneath that parachute.
It really gave this like weird sense of nostalgia with this stage, which I really enjoyed.
Because it's retro.
Yes, I love it. I love it. Okay, and now we must speak on Red Suit Taeyang. I will just preface this by saying when this happened, okay, Bethany got up, okay, she literally walked out of my house. She had to leave the building. She has never done this before. She had to physically remove herself from the entire building. Okay. And when she came back in, she told me, I don't think I can watch this video. I don't think that I can continue. It was not joking. She was serious. She did not think that she could continue to watch this video.
Yeah, I was 100% serious. So the first time watching this, we watched it together. So I just was like, oh, Dynamite, this is great. I love the stage. And then we got that first close-up of Taeyang. And it was just involuntary. I just got up on my feet and just went straight out the door. I just walked across through your kitchen, out through your back door, which I've only ever used that door like twice.
Yeah. It was bizarre that you went to the back door too. You were just like, I need to remove myself.
It just happened. I've never felt that much of like, I need to remove myself from this situation. And I felt so overwhelmed that when I came back, I looked at you with I was being serious.
Your eyes were wide.
I can't watch this. Nothing could have prepared me for this Taeyang. I feel stupid and naive and oblivious for not thinking that this kind of Taeyang was ever going to be presented to me. I told you, hands down, one of the top looks for Taeyang. Absolutely. In my mind, one of the top looks.
You initially said top five, but now I feel like you would say top three.
Maybe even number one. Honestly, I can't even think. It just affected me that much. I'm sure all you other Taeyang stans feel me, and just all you other armies too. Like, this Taeyang look is unreal. This red suit.
Told me after this performance, you told me, I can't see him again. I don't ever want to see him again, because it was so, I mean, you came back and we watched the whole performance and you told me that. Because it was that overwhelming.
I don't even remember saying that, but I'm sure I did. It was really, I've just never, I mean, I get wrecked and destroyed by Taeyang all the time, but this was something else. Nothing could have prepared me. Mm-mm. But he was really feeling himself. Those glasses, the color just really looks good with his skin and his hair with the comma look. So we got forehead too. His green earpiece and microphone, just everything. Whenever people say like everything is going right, that's exactly what's happening with this performance for Taeyang. Everything, the looks, his vocals, his performance, the way he's feeling himself, his expressions, everything is going right.
Mm-hmm, 100%.
It's awful.
clearly very, very overwhelming. I just want to touch on a couple things that also wrecked me while Bethany was just getting destroyed by Taeyang. I got wrecked by Jin, who, you know, for the first time did this really, really, really cute little heart kissy at the camera, you know, like with his, like with the Korean heart fingers.
He
did a finger heart and he blew a kiss with it. And there's just this really cute moment where his lips are all pursed up, and I just
love that blue suit on Jin.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it looks so stunning. Talk about Prince Charming. I also have to say that Namjoon, although he did not receive much screen time for Dynamite, nor does he ever, any moment that he's in the background, he's wrecking, he's destroying. You need to go back and rewatch this Mama performance just to watch Namjoon during Dynamite. Okay, mm-hmm. Take it from me.
He's smirking a lot back there. Yeah. He's feeling himself too. I love those pants on him too. They're a little higher up and they've got buttons on both sides. I don't know what style that is, but they look really great on him.
Yeah, I want to pop all those buttons off. Mm.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. And to end this Dynamite stage, they went super epic, very colorful, huge outdoor stage with a ton of fireworks. They had real fireworks and they also had a bunch of like CGI like smoke. But it was a very, very cool ending to the stage.
It was. All right. So the last stage that they did was Life Goes On. And this was very different for the setting. Really, we were both just shocked and just trying to really take in everything that this stage brought. At first, we thought that all these people on the stage were animated. They looked so still, but they were actual people and dancers there, frozen in time. They were all in white or like gray kind of like outfits. A lot of their faces had makeup on them so that they could, you know, blended in with like this white look. And it really, the whole effect of it had this like wintry feel, but also just like as if there was a black and white filter, but there wasn't. Mm-hmm. And so everyone on stage looked like they were doing just some sort of community, normal public activity, like getting coffee, releasing balloons, riding scooters, you know, meeting friends on a bench, a park bench. Everything that has been frozen and things that we can't do right now in 2020. Yeah.
And then the stage does something really incredible, which is later on in the performance, like the last little bridge, this black and white effect changes to color. Jin releases, Bethany, you earlier, you said it was the spirit of Army.
Because mm-hmm. it was purple. Mm-hmm.
And he releases it and it goes up into the sky and it just kind of melts away all of the black and white, all of the wintry feels of it. And suddenly everybody comes back to life and all of the people, they suddenly have like these beautiful, almost dynamite music video reminiscent of like pastel-y, but bright color of outfits. BTS's color returns. And, you know, all, of course, the sky is like this beautiful blue. All of the buildings are colorful. And to me, like this change, this very drastic change from this winter vibe, this frozen in time into this colorful like springtime, to me really fully embodied the message, the lyrical meaning of this song. I thought that it was a very smart and unique and just beautiful way to interpret the lyrics of this song into a visual moment. This to me is one of my favorite stages.
Yeah, me too. It was really unexpected and so well done and thought out. And yeah, and I've kind of almost thought that maybe this is too literal of an interpretation, but with that black and white feel, that frozen in time, we do get that winter, and then seeing all the color return, it really looked like it was spring, like that winter was melting away. It just makes me think about how like we're getting so close to the end of this. I mean, we're still in it. It still really sucks, this everything with the pandemic, but it really seems optimistic for spring that like once winter is past with the way things are going now, and what's to come, it seems like we're almost there.
Yeah, it really does seem like we're almost there.
It's so hopeful.
This performance is so hopeful. It gives us that hope again that we can really visualize, you know, going back from this time period where we are all frozen in place, all of our plans, all of everything that we were doing, our activities, being out in public, and hopeful that spring will come again where we can unfreeze, we can thaw, and we can get back together.
So winding and weaving in between all of these dancers frozen in time, the BTS members saying life goes on, and their outfits are very gorgeous. They're all this white and ivory, very soft and beautiful material. Shout out to Jimin's little tiny tummy slipping through, peeking through during his part.
Love it.
It's so tasteful. It's not even like a crop shirt, really. It's just, you know, it comes up just a little bit. So we don't see it the whole time, but it's so gorgeous to see that.
It is gorgeous. And I think one of the highlights of this performance is at the end when BTS, they're all lined up in a straight line across and they kind of part to have a space in the middle. And initially you're like, okay, they left a space for Yoongi. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden we see like this, you know, doors from nowhere split open from the middle and this white light shining through. And then Yoongi walks out from, you know, from inside this space, and it's a hologram Yoongi, but it was really amazing to just, you know, even see a representation of him there. The fact that they saved this kind of moment for their very last performance of the entire award show weekend was very notable. We got so freaking excited to see Yoongi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I freaked out. I really thought it was almost going to be him.
Yeah, and then I thought like, it was okay, him at first.
All right, it's a hologram, but it's still how special that they did that.
Yeah,
it was really meaningful and special considering like after this large, really big weekend for all these K-pop artists, but for BTS, especially with all these awards, that they went, that their production team and Big Hit went above and beyond to create this hologram of Yoongi for their last performance with their newest hit track, Life Goes On.
Yeah, so, so special to really, you know, remind us all that BTS are seven.
Yeah.
And to put in that extra touch here at the end, I thought was amazing.
It was.
Yeah. And Yoongi liked it too.
He did.
He did.
He did. He enjoyed, I'm sure he enjoyed seeing himself while he's watching from home.
I think
like,
so.
It's me.
I could get used to this probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so kind of just to wrap things up here, we saw a lot of the BTS members post on social media, whether it was Twitter or Weverse. It was really just great to see how grateful that they are, and how honored they feel, and just the excitement they feel of winning so much, and their gratitude for ARMY. Overall, Kayla, did you have a favorite performance?
I mean, I think probably that last Life Goes On performance, just for how incredible that stage was. We didn't even touch on for this performance, their vocals and their visuals really were astonishing as well. So initially, just off the top of my head, I would have to say that one.
Yeah.
What about you?
That Dynamite dance break.
Oh my God. I mean, see if I go too far into it, yeah, and you know, but we can claim both.
J-Hope in that purple suit, Taeyong in that red suit. Enamel pins will be made for sure, and I will be buying them.
That's how you know it's iconic, if an enamel pin is made.
It's very true. It's iconic moments. If it's an enamel pin, yes, iconic.
Definitely, for sure. So really, we loved these performances. We felt like this is BTS performing at their highest caliber, at their highest level. They continuously go out and they just leave everything on the stage for us.
They really do.
They really do.
They go all out for us. They deliver so much for us. We're grateful. They deserved all of those awards. They work hard for it. And they produce and create great music.
Yeah. They managed to turn the shit show that is 2020 into their most successful year ever.
Yeah.
And I think that is definitely worth celebrating. So I'm so proud of them. So happy for
Me
them
too.
That they won all these awards and that they did such an incredible job with all of their performances.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So congratulations, BTS. Congratulations, ARMY.
Yes.
We're doing it.
We are.
They're doing it.
They're doing it. We're supporting.
Yes.
Yeah. So right here at the end, we do want to say a special thanks to our supporters again on Patreon, and especially our VIP Iconics, Eileen Ruchel, Michelle Park, Deja, and Meg DiRuggiero. We love you guys. Thank you so much for all of your support. And if you enjoyed this episode and if you enjoyed any of our previous episodes, there's a few things you can do to let us know. You can follow us and reach out to us on social media. Like we said earlier, it's the best part of our week when we get to talk to you guys and hear from you. So reach out to us if you haven't before. You can send us an email. You can DM us on Twitter, Stan and BTS Podcast. You can do the same thing on Instagram. And of course, you can find links for all of those things in the description.
In the description. Thanks for listening and thanks for standing BTS.